Well, the best way to find out the value of something is to see what happens when it is missing. For example, we know that a light bulb is required for a lamp to work. But as long as the lamp is working, the light bulb is not really on your mind. However, if you remove that light bulb, you will quickly find out that the light bulb is important for the lamp to function properly. You know, I could say the same for drinking sweet tea. You know, being born and raised in Georgia, the sweet tea is pretty much put into the bottle whenever you're little, and you drink it all your life. But I never once really think about the sugar in the sweet tea. However, if I fail to add the sugar to the tea after it's brewed, I will quickly notice that sugar is a very vital part of sweet tea. The best way to find out the value of something is to see what happens when it is missing. Well, we had rain during the night over the past few days. You know, we were thankful that our roof had shingles on it to keep our house dry. However, we never really thought about the nails that were holding the shingles to the roof. If the nails were not holding the shingles to the roof, we would not have stayed dry throughout the night. This works in the context of the church, too. You see, we come together every week to worship the Lord, and part of our service involves communion. We have the emblems placed before us. They're prepared by a volunteer every week. However, if nobody goes out and buys the materials and bring them to the church, the volunteers won't have anything to prepare. The best way to find out the value of something is to see what happens when it's missing. Well, this morning we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. The official name for this holiday is Easter, which is a word that could be traced back thousands of years to a root, which means shine or dawn. The word Easter also shares the same root as the word east, which is the direction we look if we want to see a sunrise. Knowing that the word Easter describes the dawning of a new day, it makes sense that this holiday is named Easter, since the resurrection of Jesus brings a new day for his church. You see, the resurrection gives us new life, because Jesus has the victory over death. But what happens? What would have happened if Easter never existed? You know, the best way to find the value of something is to see what happens if it's missing. The resurrection has been called the cornerstone of redemption. If Jesus was not raised from the dead, his crucifixion would have been in vain. If he was still lying in the grave, then the Roman soldiers succeeded in wiping out a religious leader, and the followers of Jesus would have wasted their time. If the grave is not empty, we are without a Savior, and our faith is foolish. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15. Our text today is going to be 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 26. And in this text today, we see the Apostle Paul's doctrine of the resurrection. This entire chapter is an answer to the critics who claim that there is no resurrection of the dead. See, the resurrection of Jesus caused quite a stir in the scholarly community during the first century, and it is still debated today among those who want to discredit Christianity. So why go after the resurrection of Jesus? Why target this particular teaching in the church? Well, it's because these scholars understand the importance of the resurrection. They know that if they could disprove the resurrection, then the church would cease to exist. For this sermon, we're going to look at the resurrection and discover just how important it really is. What would happen if Jesus was never raised from the dead? Well, let's read the text and let's dig in. 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to start with 12 through 15. It says, "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we have testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the events that happened this week leading up to today. We thank you, Lord, that even though Friday seemed like such a dark day for us, that Sunday did come and that Jesus was raised from the dead. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us this morning to focus on that importance to see exactly what it means to us that the resurrection did take place. I pray that you'll be with us through this sermon. All of us I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If the resurrection never happened, then there would be no truth. The apostles and the prophets would be preaching a lie. Remember that song of the suffering servant that is in Isaiah 40 through 53. We had our readers using parts of that text as our scripture readings for the whole month of March in order to prepare our minds for each Easter. Well, in that section, Isaiah writes about the coming Messiah. The cup of God's wrath would be poured out on a suffering servant, and the servant would be vindicated after his death. Well, looking back to the first century, we can see that Jesus was a suffering servant that Isaiah wrote about. We also see that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and he felt the full force of God's wrath as the cup was poured out on him. The punishment was severe, and it was complete. No other punishment is needed for the forgiveness of our sins, because Jesus took it all on his shoulders when he hung on that cross. Isaiah wrote about the vindication of the suffering servant after his death. But how will the vindication happen? How will the suffering servant be rewarded for taking on the sins of the world? Well, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he cried out to God, quoting part of Psalm 22, whenever he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, the last part of Psalm 22 is about the vindication of the suffering servant. According to what King David wrote, the entire world would bow down and worship the suffering servant as a result of their sins being taken away. The Apostle Paul writes about it in Philippians chapter 2, whenever he said that every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The suffering servant would die as a criminal, bearing the sins of the world on his shoulders, but he would be worshipped by the entire world when he rose from the dead. If the resurrection never happened, Jesus would still be in the grave. There would be no vindication, no worship from the world for the forgiveness of sins. And without vindication, everything that Isaiah, King David, the Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter, and all the others, they would be lying. Preaching the resurrection would be a lie if the resurrection never happened. If the resurrection never happened, then our faith is based on a lie. 1 Corinthians 15:14 says that our faith is in vain if Jesus was not raised from the dead. Now, why is that? Because our faith is based on the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Without the risen part, we don't have a living testimony of the resurrection that we're going to experience on Judgment Day when it's time for us to meet our Creator. If Jesus was not raised, we won't be raised either. Our faith in life after death is based on Jesus being alive. Our faith in Jesus is based on his divine existence as God. Jesus told us that he was going to prepare a place for us. In his Father's house, there are many rooms available for us. Without the resurrection, Jesus is not alive, and our faith is dead. Our faith is built upon the foundation of truth, and that truth is Jesus is God. If the resurrection never happened, Jesus is not God, and the Bible is full of false witnesses. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15:15. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. So they're testifying that Jesus rose from the dead. Now listen to 1 Corinthians 15:3-7. Paul says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles." See, all of those eyewitnesses would be false if Jesus was still dead. This is why Jesus appeared to all of them after the resurrection. You see, if Jesus would have just appeared to Peter, there would be a reason for skepticism. If he would have appeared just to the 12 disciples in the upper room, then we could probably say that they created this story as a cover-up They didn't want to be found as part of a lie. But when Jesus appeared to 500 brothers at one time, there's no doubt that there are plenty of eyewitnesses who testified to the fact that Jesus is alive. He rose from the dead, and he is still living today. Of course, if you want to be hard about it, be stubborn about it, there is still a case that some people could say that even a group as large as 500 could still be manipulated. And they all would want to believe that the resurrection happened, therefore they could be made to believe that. So what do you say if somebody accuses the 500 brothers of being part of this huge, elaborate hoax? Well, I would probably talk about James, the brother of Jesus. You know, the biggest testimony for Jesus is a changed life. Remember that the family of Jesus rejected him as the Messiah. James did not believe that Jesus was who he claimed to be. But we find out later that James is the leader of the church in Jerusalem. We see that in Acts. So what happened? How did he become a follower of Jesus? Well, the Apostle Paul said right here that James saw Jesus after the resurrection. A changed life is the best testimony. And along with that, the Apostle Paul himself. You know, he was the persecutor of the church, the original enemy of the church. And yet now he is the biggest advocate of the church. The only way he would have changed like that is if Jesus appeared to him after the resurrection. A changed life is the biggest proof that Jesus is still living today. Well, let's read on here, 1 Corinthians 15. Let's go 16 through 19. It says, "For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. And those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied." If there is no resurrection, there is no hope for us. Our sins are not forgiven. See, Paul says that we are still in our sins if Jesus was not raised from the dead. If Jesus is still dead, he is not our Messiah, which means he did not take away the sins of the world. That makes John the Baptist out to be a liar too. Remember, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." The resurrection is the key because the power to die for our sins rests on the fact that Jesus is God. You see, if Jesus was just a human, then he would have only died for one man, because one human life for one human life is how it works. So if he's only a human, he's not God, he only died for one person. Who would it be? However, we know that he is fully God too, fully God and fully human. So he is able to give his life for humans. And being fully God, he's able to give his life for all of those who began with Adam and Eve, all the way through to today and also to Judgment Day, whenever he decides to come and take us home. He is able to die for all of our sins because of the fact that he is God. Since Jesus is God, we can approach the throne of God with confidence because we know that we are saved. Now, how do we know that Jesus is God? Well, the resurrection of Jesus is what proves that he is God. And because the resurrection happened, we are able to celebrate Easter. But we have to remember, Easter is not about the bunny. It's about the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. If the resurrection never happened, there would be nothing beyond death. Without the resurrection of the dead, our only hope is in what we can accomplish while living here on earth. There is no heaven and there is no hell, so we might as well just live it up and have a blast, because you only live once, as the popular saying goes. Of course, we know that that's not true, because Jesus went to the cross for us. Why would Jesus bother to go through the torture of the cross if there was no life after death? Why go through all of that trouble and all that pain to keep people out of hell if hell didn't really exist? This is why we need to keep the cross as a reminder of what Jesus did for us. See, I don't really have a problem with the cross as a symbol, because it is a visual reminder of the price that Jesus paid for us. However, we need to make sure it's an empty cross, because if Jesus is still hanging on the cross, then we are still without hope. That's why it's critical that the cross is displayed as an empty cross, because Jesus is no longer on that cross. The cross is our symbol that Jesus died for our sins, but that empty grave is what shows us that Jesus lives as our King. So we got to have both sides of the story. Without the resurrection, there is no salvation, period. Every sacrifice from Mount Sinai all the way to Mount Calvary happened because we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If Jesus was not raised from the dead, then we are all without hope because the sacrifices are useless. See, the sacrifices of the old covenant pointed to the sacrifice of Jesus. And the sacrifice of Jesus brought salvation to the world. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then there is no need for a sacrifice because there is no life after death. Let's look at 15:19 again. It says, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Well, let's read on, 20 through 26. It says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But in each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Jesus Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God to the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Without the resurrection, we would not have true life. If there is no resurrection, we are stuck in Adam. See, since Adam was the first man to be created, he represents all humanity. And since sin entered the world through Adam, the world is now cursed. We're living in a fallen world. The influence of sin in the world is so powerful that nobody has been able to successfully resist temptation for sin. Nobody's been able to live that perfect life. And since nobody has been able to live that perfect life, everybody will be separated from God for all eternity. In Adam, we all die. If all we have is our humanity, we have no life because there is no true life in this world. Our life comes from God, not from our humanity. Jesus gives us that life because he did live as a perfect life here on earth. And because he resisted temptation and made it all the way to the end without a blemish, he was able to be our unblemished lamb on the cross. And because of his ability to remain pure, we now have the opportunity to receive life in Christ. Jesus was raised from the dead, and he is now waiting for us in heaven. But if there is no resurrection, then there wouldn't be any heaven. Verses 23 and 24 is a reference to the second coming of Christ. When Jesus comes back, he will take all of those who are his to heaven with him. The rest of the people will spend eternity in hell away from God if you don't choose Jesus. See, there really is no middle ground. There is no second chance once Jesus comes back. There's only one chance to accept Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, and that is in this life only. If you are baptized into Christ, you will make it to heaven because Jesus will come back to take us to heaven. But if the resurrection never happened, then Jesus is still dead. And if Jesus is still in the grave, there's no way he's going to come back to take us home. You see, you cannot come back if he never left. That's how important the resurrection is. If Jesus was not raised from the dead, he did not ascend into heaven. If he did not ascend into heaven, he's not going to come back to take us home. The resurrection is the key. If the resurrection never happened, then the enemies win. Take a look at 25 and 26 again. It says, for he must reign until he has put all these enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. See, Jesus destroyed the enemies when he was raised from the dead because there was nothing holding Jesus to the earth. When we die, our bodies are returned to the ground when we're buried. ashes to ashes, dust to dust. From dust we came when God created Adam, and to dust we will return whenever we die. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then that is the end of the story for us. There's nothing more. We are stuck here on earth because our bodies never leave. However, there is good news, and the good news is that we are not really stuck here on this earth because our bodies will be resurrected when Jesus returns. We know this because Jesus was raised from the dead. See, this is what Paul meant when he said that Jesus will deliver the kingdom to God. We are part of God's kingdom as long as we are baptized into Christ. So we will be delivered to God because we are not stuck here on this earth. We have broken our chains thanks to Jesus. We have been set free. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15:54 through 57. It says, when the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we are no longer afraid because we know that Jesus lives. The resurrection is our proof that Jesus is God and we can be saved from our sins. Jesus is our way to heaven, and Easter is real because of the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. Salvation is available for all of us as long as we are in Christ, because that is where true life exists. So how do we become part of Christ? What should we do in order to be saved from our sins? Well, when Peter preached the first gospel sermon in Acts chapter 2, he preached about Jesus being the Messiah. The people who heard him believed in God, but they needed to understand that Jesus was the Messiah they were waiting for. Once they realized that Jesus was the Messiah, they were cut to the heart. They realized their mistake. And that was when they asked Peter for their next step. See, there's a point in every person's life called a breaking point or an aha moment when you realize that you are a sinner who needs a Savior. And Jesus is your Savior. See, this is more than just believing in Jesus. The demons even believe that and they shudder. This is the desire to take the next step in your relationship with God, to move forward, to become a child of God. And the next step is to repent of your sins and to be baptized into Christ. See, Peter said in Acts 2:38 that when you are baptized into Christ, you receive the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Paul says in Romans chapter 6 that when you are baptized into Christ's death and raised to walk in a new life with Christ. You buried your old life in the grave, and you are raised to walk in a new life. You see, that new life is made possible because of the resurrection that we are celebrating today. By being baptized into Christ, you become a child of God. And as a child of God, your home is with him in heaven. And since your home is in heaven with God, you will have reason to celebrate on Judgment Day. See, on Judgment Day, there's going to be much rejoicing, but there's also going to be much sorrow. Those who decided to be baptized into Christ will rejoice because they will make it to heaven. They made the right choice before it was too late. So let me ask you this. Have you made that choice to be baptized into Christ? Have you made that choice to be a child of God? If not, time is running out. We need to make that choice today. Let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful gift of salvation that you've given us. And the fact that you have conquered death, and now we can have the victory with you as we are baptized into you. I pray, Lord, you'll be with us through this invitation, that if anyone out there needs to be making a decision for you, I pray that you'll convict them and help them move. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to remember that our relationship with you is what's most important in life. That as long as we are right with you, that it doesn't matter what's happening in the world, that we can always have joy because we know we're going to make it to heaven. And I pray, Lord, you'll be with us during this invitation. All this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.